Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 32 and selections from John chapter 11. It is the first of the series following Jesus through the Gospel of John and is titled Lazarus, Be Unbound. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 22nd of February, 2026, First Sunday in Lent, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
We are beginning a new sermon series today. We're going to follow Jesus through the Gospel of John during this Lenten season. And we're using selections from the narrative lectionary, so you get longer chunks of text. So that's why today we're reading selections from John chapter 11. And the translation is by Frederick Dale Bruner. So I invite you to listen for God's living word for you. Now there was a certain sick man, Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany, the village of Mary and of Martha, her sister. Incidentally, Mary was the woman who anointed the Lord with myrrh and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus saying, "Lord, look, your dear friend is very sick." Moving to verse 32. So when Mary got to Jesus, she saw him and fell down at his feet and was saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So when Jesus saw her crying like this, and those with her crying as well, he was greatly troubled in spirit and deeply moved. So he said, "Where did you put him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus bawled. So the Judeans were saying, "Look how much he loved this man." But some of them said, "Hey, couldn't this man who opened the eyes of a blind man have done something to keep this man from dying at all?" So Jesus, again, hurt greatly inside, comes to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone rolled over on top of it. Jesus says, "Lift up the stone, please." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, it stinks already in there. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus says to her, "Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed that you would actually see the glory of God?" So they lifted up the stone. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but for the sake of the crowd standing here with me, I wanted to say it this way, so that they will come to trust that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus roared with a great voice, "Lazarus, come out of there!" The dead man did come out of there, bound, head and foot, with a napkin still over his face. Jesus says to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Where do you sit in this story? In this story from the Gospel of John, who holds your voice? Does your voice intermingle with Mary's? "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Her voice drips with grief-filled honesty and, frankly, such disappointment. "Lord, if only you had been here." She knew Jesus, who Jesus was, as well as anyone did. She knew he had the power to heal, to make whole, to inspire, to give life. She knew his presence might have changed the situation. She trusted him. She believed in him. She loved him. And because of that, Mary could not understand why Jesus had not been there to make everything okay. In an earlier scene of this story, we learn that Jesus knew of Lazarus's illness several days before Jesus decided to show up. So Mary could not figure out why he had not come when he was first summoned. "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." I thought about Mary's voice when I heard that the spontaneous memorial set up to mark the death of Rene Good was purposely set on fire this past week. Not only has her community and family had to endure that senseless death, but even their time of grief wasn't respected. And I thought about Mary's voice when I read this story about the very sick 2-month-old who was deported to Mexico along with his family and left right over the border without a phone, without transportation, without any kind of medical care. And I can easily imagine Mary's grief-soaked, honest cry on the lips of many women, men, and children who keep watching those they love lose their lives to violence in Ukraine and South Sudan and Atlanta. Lord, if only you had been here, my mother, my child, my sister would not have died. Do you find your voice in Mary, kneeling at Jesus' feet, grief-soaked and disappointed? Perhaps you find a kinship with Martha's voice. We don't hear from Martha in this section of the story, but before Mary meets Jesus, Martha gets to him first. And in her typically bold style, Martha lays it all out for Jesus. Unlike the grief-soaked tones of Mary's voice, Martha's has a sharp, angry edge. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. In other words, you messed up, Jesus, but you have the power to fix it, so do it. Martha, like Mary, knew Jesus very well. She also trusted him, believed in him, and loved him. And that's precisely why she was angry. Martha felt betrayed. So she walked right up to him, stood up straight, looked at Jesus in the eyes, and said exactly what she felt. Lord, if only you had been here. I've heard Martha's voice, too. I've heard Martha's voice echoing in the words of a former parishioner whose teenage daughter was battling anorexia. The mother felt like she was stuck in a deep, dark hole, powerless to do anything about it. Lord, if only you had been here, this woman would utter again and again. Her beloved daughter was sinking lower and lower into disease as she fought for her life, and her mother was furious with God about it. She had always trusted God, believed in God, loved God deeply, therefore she was angry that all of that faith had not protected her daughter from so much pain. So in my pastor's office, she regularly stated what she felt. Lord, if you only you had been here, my daughter would be okay. Do you find your voice with the mother and with Martha, desiring to look Jesus eye to eye, sharp-edged and rightfully angry? Maybe your voice would be one of the voices in the crowd, the voices who wondered loudly why this Jesus, who had just opened the eyes of a blind man, could not have prevented Lazarus's death. If this Jesus really was who he said he was, then Lazarus did not need to die, yet he did. Perhaps all this Jesus Messiah stuff was just a sham, just one more person's attempt to get power and control. If he's the Lord, the skeptics murmured, then Lazarus should not be dead. He must be a con artist. I've heard those voices from the crowd. I have friends whose voices would fit in with those crowd's questions. They are wonderful, good-hearted, deeply loving people who have been turned out and burned by the church so many times. They simply find it too hard to see anything good in it anymore. They are friends whose hearts have been broken by people they thought were church family. Young women and men who hear the church folk talk the talk about love and unity and justice, but then see the church folk act with pettiness and self-interest and judgment, or just not act at all. Shannon, one once said to me, I cannot understand at all why you are still involved in the institution of church. There are plenty of other places to find spiritual community. Their voices would have fit right in with the skeptical voices of the crowd that day outside of Lazarus' tomb. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Do you find your voice with the crowd and my friends, skeptical and cynical? What about the voices of the disciples? Does your voice blend in with theirs? Again, in today's portion of the story, we don't hear their voices, but before, their voices did ring out loudly and clearly. Before Jesus even made a move towards Lazarus's grave, Jesus and the disciples had just narrowly escaped being stoned to death in Jerusalem by those who were angry with Jesus's claim of being the Messiah. And so, fearing for their lives, they had all gone across the Jordan for safety. But then, a couple of days after Jesus heard about Lazarus, he told his disciples, "It was time to go back to Judea." "Are you kidding me?" the disciples asked. "Rabbi, they were just now trying to stone you, and you're going to go there again?" The disciples' voices were full of fear. Maybe Jesus had forgotten what it felt like to be frozen by fear, but they hadn't forgotten. They had not forgotten what it felt like to hear the religious leaders plotting to arrest Jesus for his ministry. They had not forgotten what it felt like to be on guard 24/7, wary of shadows, unable to breathe deeply. "Lord, if you go there, if we go there." Have you ever had a voice or heard a voice so constricted by fear that you had to catch your breath? I think about some of the voices I once heard in Texas when I was involved in planning an interfaith observance of Thanksgiving. I was new to ministry, and this is not about you, but I was full of the overconfidence of a newly graduated seminarian. So when the local rabbi and imam asked if the church in which I served could host the event, my colleagues and I replied, "Well, of course, we have the biggest space." It did not appear to be a controversial decision, at least not to this newly minted preacher. Thus, I was completely caught off guard and knocked out of breath by the reaction of some in our Christian community. "You want to do what in our sanctuary? You want to let whom in our holy space?" And we received so many hate letters and mean phone calls that by the end of it all, my colleagues and I were so wiped out, we were having to remind each other to breathe. We knew much of it was fueled purely by fear. Fear of others, who were very different in many ways, but not so different in other ways. Yet that fear had such dominance in their voices, it had squeezed out all of the love and compassion in them, leaving no room for anything else. "Lord, if you go there, if we go there," just between you and God, would your voice blend in with the fear-filled voices of the disciples? People who loved Jesus the best they could, but who could not support his decisions to constantly be vulnerable for the sake of others who are so very different. Where is your voice in this story? Who holds it? Does it rest with Mary or Martha? Those in the crowds or the disciples? Maybe you hear your voice in the mouths of each of them from time to time, depending on the day, depending on the season of life that you're in. And of course, there's one voice we've not even considered yet, and I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Lazarus. Lazarus, the one to whom and with whom all of this happens, do you notice he doesn't speak one word in this story? Lazarus has no words in this whole interaction. As a matter of fact, after he comes out of that tomb and is unbound by his community, Lazarus drops out of the scene and is never mentioned again. We have no record of what he said about his experience. We don't know if he was joyful to get another shot at life here with us or if he was upset because that meant he was going to have to die again one day. We have no knowledge if Lazarus ever went on to preach or teach after his experience of being a living, breathing miracle. All we know about Lazarus is that Jesus called him out of the tomb by name and he came out, his community unbound him, and he was let go. And perhaps John didn't let us hear Lazarus's voice because he indeed said nothing. But what if John didn't let us hear Lazarus's voice because he wanted us to imagine what Lazarus's testimony might have been? Once he had been unbound and let go, what might he have said? Imagine with me, perhaps Lazarus would have said to Mary, "I hear your voice, sister. And all I can say is that through this Jesus, God knows what it's like to weep. And God's heart is always the first one to break. But try and trust that one day your tears will be dried and weeping will be a memory. Please keep using that compassion that you've been given." And then perhaps Lazarus would have said to Martha, "Sister, I hear your voice, and I hope you can trust that through Jesus, God knows your anger. But God will not let injustice or illness or even death have the last word. So continue to lift your head and stand tall. Keep using that voice of righteous anger that you have been given." Maybe Lazarus would have said to those in the crowd, "Friends, I hear your voices. And I also know that through this Jesus, God's creating the church, but it's going to be made up of people like you and me. And that means it's going to be messy and sometimes very messed up. Nevertheless, God is still going to choose to work in it and through it for the healing, not just of the church, but for the world. But hey, you continue to keep challenging it and keep it honest. You too have a part to play in God's work." Then perhaps Lazarus would have turned to the disciples, "Brothers, I hear your voices, but through this Jesus, God has put flesh and blood on. Do not be afraid. So take a deep breath and have courage and keep holding on to one another too, for discipleship requires community. You can borrow strength and hope from each other as often as needed." These responses, of course, are just my imaginative guesses. We don't know for sure what Lazarus's voice would have sounded like or what he might have said, but because he's silent, we can all wonder about his testimony. We can wonder what our testimony would be if we were like Lazarus. What would we say if during this season of Lent, when we're a little quieter and a little stiller, we tried to open our own ears to hear Jesus call our names? How would we respond to Jesus' summons to come out of whatever it is that keeps us bound and entombed in our own lives? Because friends, that is what happens each and every day, each and every day as we sit in our own captivity, whether that's captivity to grief or to anger, captivity to cynicism or fear, captivity to plain numbness or constant busyness, captivity to a whole host of powers and principalities that try and lock us down, greed and racism, privilege, addiction. As we sit in our own captivity, Jesus still stands outside those tombs and calls our name. "Come on out," Jesus cries to us. "Be unbound and let go. Rise up." Each and every day, Jesus invites us to come out of the depths of whatever is keeping us captive, so we might walk into the light of a new start, a new life, a kind of resurrection here and now. This season of Lent offers us this time to honestly consider what is keeping us bound. What is keeping us from rising and being set free? Let go. A friend of mine wrote about this opportunity, and here's how he put it. "This Lent feels not like something that must be done, but something that can and should be done. A great deal of mud has stuck on my shoes this past season that I'm eager to scrape off with a gnarly Lenten stick. Outrage, anxiety, even despair. I need a season to drop some of that stuff. So much accrues, obligations, habits, grudges, attitudes. Lent is an invitation to walk for a season without some of those things by making a habit of dropping them by the roadside." Or as Lazarus might put it, Lent is an invitation to get honest about what's keeping us bound and locked in our own tombs, so that we too will hear our names being called as Jesus summons us to freedom. Freedom not just for ourselves, but freedom to act for others as well. After all, the story of the rising of Lazarus is not just the story about Lazarus. It's also a story about our own rising in Jesus. It is the story, our story, about a new life that can begin today and not just after we die and are put in our graves. Maybe that's why John kept Lazarus silent. Maybe he kept him silent so that we might stand in for him and be his new voice of new life and freedom. Maybe as members of Lazarus's extended family, that is the voice we could claim today on this first Sunday of Lent. For that is a voice that we all need to hear. "Come out," Jesus cries to us. "Be unbound, let go, rise up, rise up, Rise up, you're free.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.